Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom today, discernment for the days to come. Lord, it's going to be very important that we hear your voice and follow you in the days to come to avoid much loss and catastrophe and loss of life. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Well, all right, saints, I'm going to share a little revelation here with you. It's a pretty good one. And we'll go from there on what we should do about this. This was a word given to Sandy Shaw, a dream given to her, and a good word in the dream. And it was transcribed by Don and Marlene Laughlin. We called it Learn to Listen, Save Your Life. Amen. Good teaching here. And Sandy said, the way this dream started, I felt like I was watching a movie. There were two men that were brothers. One is a Christian and one is not. They are in the woods and it looks like a weekend camping trip. They also had two boys who were cousins, about 12. The boys were getting ready and the two men were having a discussion. The one said, why is it that every time I call you, you always say you're in the Word or praying? And the answer from the other brother is, because I am. Then he said, can't you do anything else? The other answered, well, watching TV is a waste of time, and I'm doing other things, and I'm right here with you right now. The boys had the kayak in the water, and one of the boys sees the life jackets, and he says, shouldn't we put these on? And the other said, no, it constricts me. So they got into the water. Then the men heard a yell and they looked towards the kayak. They saw that the kayak had tipped over and the boys were going downstream. One said, come on, let's go get the four-wheeler and I've got a rope. Now the Christian brother was getting ready to jump on the four-wheeler when the Lord said to him, no, fall on your knees and pray. So then he tells his brother, no, I can't because the Lord said no. What do you mean the Lord said no? These are our kids. To hell with you and your God. So he took off on the four-wheeler. And he caught up with the boys. The boys were on a piece of driftwood when the dad made a lasso and swung it to his son, and it landed around his neck. The other little boy pulled at the loop to position it better and got one arm through. The dad started pulling him to the shore, but his boy went through the rope, and then there were faster rapids, and his boy went down the falls. The other boy on the driftwood started drifting to the calmer part of the river. There was once a huge tree, but the stump still remained. The driftwood got lodged between there and the bank, and the boy was able to get out. The uncle saw that and was mad, and he hurried and got on the four-wheeler and went to where his brother was. He jumped off and was yelling, I want nothing to do with you and your God. If he can pick and choose what son he's going to keep alive. I want nothing to do with your cruel and evil God. You know, lost people don't take responsibility. Even carnal Christians don't take responsibility. They want to put it off on somebody. And when he had finished saying that, the other little boy came running and said, "Dad," and went to his father's arms and started hugging him. How can you still have your son when I'm the one who did all the work and mine is gone? That's the whole point. Our works won't save us, will they? And this is why I'll always read my word and be obedient, the other man said. And Sandy said, "I received by faith at random, Luke 1 and 37. For no word from God shall be void of power." Yes, there is power in God's word. He seeks constantly to save us. And we cannot be saved by our own works, as the lost man doesn't understand. And he doesn't understand why seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness will meet all of your needs. He doesn't understand that. And I have to say, the carnal Christian doesn't either. There are many people in the church who still walk according to their works, the same way they did in the world. They walk according to their reason, the same way they did in the world, and it won't save them. Multitudes of carnal Christians will take the mark of the beast in the days to come. I guarantee you that. Because they don't know how they could provide for their family any other way. Because they don't have faith. They didn't hear God's word, although it's there. They read the stories. They did not hear. And they did not obey. And there will be a great falling away in the days to come because of this one thing. People not listening to God. They can't hear God. How can you hear God when you don't get familiar with the one who spoke in the Word? Familiarity with Him helps you to understand His voice in the future. To say nothing of the fact that the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance everything that He has spoken to you. Many are going to die in the days to come because they will not listen to the voice of the Lord, no matter how it comes, whether it comes by the word, by dream, by vision, by revelation. They will not listen. They will not hear God. Of course, the word teaches us how to hear God in these other ways, prophetically, by dreams and visions, by word out of the scriptures. We have to learn to listen. Multitudes haven't had their ears open because they don't read the word enough to do that, nor do they listen to the Holy Spirit, who sometimes speaks from without, but is much more valuable from within. Hearing God will save your life, the life of your family, friends, loved ones. John 8 and 47 says, "He that is of God heareth the words of God." It's not he that goes to church. It's not he that listens to the preacher. He that is of God heareth the words of God. Those words of God will keep a person from staying in a dead religion the rest of their life so that they never can hear anybody but their preacher. He that is of God hears the words of God. For this cause hear you hear them not, because you are not of God. Those who are of God hear his words. How do we become of God, born of God? By letting the word of God go into our heart and bear the fruit of the parable of the sower, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Then you can hear his voice. John 6 and 63 says, it's the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. Well, I'm afraid that most people are fleshly. That's the only thing that they hear. They won't hear the Spirit. They're not familiar with the Spirit. They're not trained to listen for the Spirit. Then Jesus went on to say, the words that I have spoken unto you are Spirit and are life. God's words mean life. God wants us to have life. He wants us to have abundant life. Here and now, and then and later, you know, he wants us to hear and obey. John 10 and 27 says, my sheep, hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And, of course, many quote following words about no one can snatch them out of my hand. But they forget all about this. Right here, my sheep hear my voice. Now that's, they hear the voice in the scriptures. They hear the voice in dreams and visions and warnings. And they heed. They hear his voice in the many ways that the scripture teaches us to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. So when a person who is not a child of the King, but they are a child of the devil, and they wonder why they don't have the benefits like this man in this dream didn't have the benefits. They know they should understand and follow the Lord. They should repent and follow the Lord. There are many curses on the path of lacking to hear his voice. Luke 11, 28 says, and he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God. Blessed. And keep it. And Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, he said, everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine, so you can hear them right out of the scriptures, they make you wise to hear him later because you're so familiar with his will and his desires that you can hear when he speaks to you. Everyone that hears these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man. The wise man here stopped, he knelt, he prayed to God, and God answered. The brother was angry with him and with God because God did answer him. The brother did not do what he needed to do, and that is to pray to hear the voice of God. So the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended and the floods came, and there they were out in a flood, right? And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the flood came, the winds blew, and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. There's many a lost household, friends, that doesn't overcome a situation like this. They fall apart after this. It's quite regular. Abortion does the same thing. When people have an abortion, marriages hardly ever, if ever, stand up through that. So I got to tell you, we have to listen to God. In the days ahead, there are going to be many tribulations and trials and pitfalls and traps. And we need to hear the voice of God for ourselves, for our family, for our loved ones. The house will fall. The person who does not hearken to the voice of God, their house will fall. James 1 and 19. I'll read through 25. You know this, my beloved brethren, Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Swift to hear. You know, the word in Ephesians tells us, let not the sun go down upon your anger. Well, why is that? Because there's a curse. The word is written in such a way as to deliver us from a curse. He says, don't let the sun go down upon your anger. All right. So when people think, I'm going to wait till tomorrow, I'll study this out, I'll overcome this, whatever. You're doing a foolish thing. You've opened yourself up to a curse. See, swift to hear. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word. Where is it implanted? Well, according to the parable of the sower, it should be implanted in your heart. Because that's where fruit comes from, the fruit of Jesus, which is able to save your souls. And he's talking to Christians, by the way. Souls have to be saved, not just spirits. Your spirit is saved when you come to the Lord, but your soul is saved through your obedience to the truth, which means you have to listen and obey. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So you can hear but not obey. A lot of people do. Some because they're not familiar with the voice of God, and others just because they'd rather not hear what they're hearing. They have their own self-will. And he calls it deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. There's no faith in the gospel this way. You don't behold your natural face in the mirror. You behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, so that you're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. That's the gospel. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, like this Christian was doing, studying his word every day, becoming familiar with the voice of God. Being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Amen. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. Yes, because these are the words of life. These are the words that preserve us. Safety is in obedience to the word. Destruction is in rebellion to what is heard or what is not heard. Romans 10:17 says, so belief cometh of hearing. Hearing brings faith, you see. Belief cometh of hearing. How, if you don't study the word, how are you going to hear it? He sows the seed in your heart. How does it get there? You can't go to church and listen to a couple of verses from a preacher and him go off in his, you know, but you need to study the word diligently, just like this believing brother did in this dream. And I say there are just as many Christians that die in the way of the unbelieving brother, not because they're not loosely called Christians, but because they don't listen, they don't hear. If God would speak that, they would immediately go back to the natural. Jump on the four-wheeler, grab the rope, go to do it naturally. So belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. Wow. So, you want to overcome? what's in the world. You can do it by faith, but faith comes by hearing. John 16 and 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, I have to say that 90-something percent of Christians have not yet received the Holy Spirit, as it is received in the Scriptures, as in the book of Acts, and so on and so forth, with the evidences of the gifts of the Spirit. They have not received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers you. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. To do what? To hear and to obey, for one thing. And yes, to do the miracles and signs and wonders of Jesus. That's part of it, and that's very important. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall guide you in all truth. He'll guide you. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these things shall he speak. Then we must hear when he speaks, right? The believing brother heard what was spoken of the Holy Spirit. He knew it was God. He was familiar enough with the voice of God that he knew it was God. And he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. Many times the Lord warns us about things that are coming. The overwhelming majority of the church doesn't receive things that are coming in their life. Not just the principles of Scripture, which are wonderful and great and needed and the only foundation that we really have. But that foundation speaks to us about God telling us about things to come, warning us of things to come. Many, many times we've received warnings that when we prayed and made adjustments, we avoided these problems. That's what God does. And John 14 and 26 says, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Well, if you listen, right? He's talking about listening to the Holy Spirit. People are in bondage to their mind. They're taught to obey their mind and reason instead of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit knows all. He knows everything that's coming, and he can tell us and warn us, and he does that in dreams and visions quite often, in prophecies, in other ways. And bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. Oh, so now we need to hearken unto the voice of God from our memory when the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. This will save us from much destruction too. Romans 8 and 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Not their mind. Your mind cleaveth to the dust. The mind of the flesh is what you've been trained to follow. The mind of the Spirit is to obey the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. Children of God walk after the mind. They're servants. But he that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. But you can sit in dead religion all of your life and you won't learn to hear the voice of God. There are many principles in there that are beyond the mind of man. They can be revealed by the Spirit of God. Like, my power is made perfect in weakness. God's power is perfect in weakness. Don't think you have to be strong, wise, able. Because God is all those things. He wants to be the Savior. He's a jealous Savior. He wants to save us, and not by our works, but by his wisdom. Acts 16. I'm going to read 7 through 10. An example. And when they were come over against Mysia, they assayed to go into Bithynia. It seemed reasonable to them. And the Spirit of Jesus suffered them not. The Spirit of Jesus suffered them not. Is it not supposed to be the same today, that he should resist any direction that is not led of the Spirit? And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. And he still gives dreams and visions, just exactly what the Bible says he does. Oh, but people like to tear pages out of their Bible, and they don't have this benefit. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There was a man of Macedonia standing and beseeching him and saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, straightway he sought to go forth into Macedonia. Well, isn't that something? He listened to this vision. People aren't used to listening to visions or dreams. Straightway he sought to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You mean God had called them through this dream? Through this vision, excuse me, or a dream, either way, to go and do something? Well, of course. You know, it's been like a prophet has been with me all of my Christian life, because either myself, my wife, my children, somebody had a dream or a vision concerning where we were going, or some brother or sister, where we were going, where we were going to be, and so on. And you know what? We weren't left not understanding these things, because we read the scriptures and we knew this is the way God speaks. He's trying to teach us how to follow the Holy Spirit here. Another example, Acts 27, 8 through 22. Reason will destroy you. And with difficulty coasting along, we came unto a certain place called Fair Havens. This is Paul in the ship, right? Nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. And when much time was spent, and the voyage was now dangerous because the fast was now already gone, Paul admonished them, and he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the lading of the ship and of the ship, but also of our lives. But the centurion gave more heed to the master and to the owner of the ship than those things which were spoken by Paul. Quite natural thing, but I got to tell you, a lot of Christians would have done the same thing. They don't believe that God speaks to his servants. They would have done the same thing. They would have followed reason, and they would have had the same loss. And some of them would have died, no doubt. So the reason was, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to put to sea from thence. Notice, the more part. Go with the multitudes. You will definitely miss God. If by any means they could reach Phoenix and winter there, which is a haven of Crete, looking northeast and southeast. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close inshore. But after no long time, there beat down from it a tempestuous wind, which is called Euraquilo. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven. Yep, you get out there in a circumstance and another circumstance and another circumstance, and pretty soon you're taken somewhere you don't want to go. But you just feel you have to do this. So you follow your reason. And running under the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were able with difficulty to secure the boat. And when they had hoisted it up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should be cast upon the Syrtis, they lowered the gear and so were driven. And as we labored exceedingly with the storm, the next day they began to throw the freight overboard. That was unnecessary. They should have listened to Paul, right? The one who heard the voice of the Spirit. And the third day, they cast out with their own hands the tackling of the ship. Oh, my goodness. You're almost at the mercy of the waves and the wind and everything now. And when neither sun nor stars shone upon us for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was now taken away. And when they had been long without food, then Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, that is, as he was hearkening to the Lord, and not have set sail from Crete and have gotten this injury and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. And that is because Paul had favor with the Lord, because he was one who listened and obeyed. Job 33, and I'm going to read 14 through 18. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, though man regardeth it not. They do not listen to God. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, so God speaketh this way. Of course, they ignore all this because their preachers are carnal and don't listen and obey dreams and visions from God, or be able to recognize dreams and visions from God. They don't either. The blind lead the blind. They're both going to fall into the ditch. Then he opened the ears of men. When? In a dream, in a vision of the night. Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. God gives instruction in dreams and visions? Yes. And many times they're in a form of a parable. And God wants you to seek him to get the answer to the parable and seek the scriptures to find the symbolism in the scriptures and these things. Of course, if you're familiar with the scriptures already, much the Holy Spirit brings scriptures to you when you have dreams to explain them to you. If you're not familiar with the scriptures, he's not able to bring to your remembrance, as we just read, these things so that you can understand the symbolism. He speaks in dreams and visions and in parables, and sometimes literally in dreams and visions too. But he opens the ears of men, and he seals their instructions with dreams and visions, that he may withdraw man from his purpose. What is his purpose? It's what he would do naturally. His carnal methods, like the unbelieving brother. He withdrew the Christian brother because he heard the voice of the Lord. He was able to withdraw this man from that purpose, which was not going to work, even though all reason would have said this is the way to do it. And to hide pride from man, because obviously you can't take any credit for this wisdom. It comes to you in a dream or a vision. You're asleep, right? You're out of it. God's just giving you, by grace, something that you don't know. He keepeth back his soul from the pit. Well, yeah. The unbelieving brother found that out. And his life from perishing by the sword. So God is able to save by us hearing his voice in a dream or a vision. Sometimes dreams and visions are warnings. They're not meant to come to pass. They're meant for you to hearken and do what you're supposed to do so that they don't come to pass. Sometimes promises are given in dreams and visions so that you will have faith to go in a certain direction. And a promise doesn't have to come to pass either. People say, oh, you're a false prophet. It didn't come to pass. No, there's lots of reasons why dreams and visions don't come to pass. Sometimes people just don't believe. Therefore, it doesn't come to pass. Sometimes people don't obey. Therefore, it doesn't come to pass. Or sometimes people don't obey, and it does come to pass, and it's warning of a disaster. Jump down to verse 23 here and 24. If there be with him a messenger, the word angelos in the New Testament, I forgot what it was in the Old Testament, but it's the same as messenger. And it can be a messenger, an earthly messenger, and not a heavenly messenger. So, if there be with him an angel, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man what is right for him, then God is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Well, you know, an angel can answer you. A messenger, an earthly messenger, can answer you and give an interpretation. God himself will give you an interpretation if you ask him to. There, he gives you, or he can give you, like I said, a very literal dream to give you the answer. But his purpose through the dreams and visions, notice, is to keep man from going down to the pit. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read 14 through 17 here. But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned. How do you learn? You listen and obey, right? And hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Salvation, by the way, is manifested in many ways: spirit, soul, body, and circumstances. The Christian brother found salvation. That's all of his needs supplied. Soteria, his needs supplied. His need was supplied. God met his need. Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He had the faith that he heard from God. He acted on that, and he got the answer. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. So if we want to know what the good works of God are and walk in them, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, Jesus said. I'm sorry for the people that don't believe that. But you believe on Jesus, he will do the work through you. And he did it through this Christian brother. Proverbs 1, I'm going to read 23 through 26. Turn you at my reproof. When God gives correction, no matter how he gives it, dream, vision, word, whatever, then we can expect his best. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Okay, when you have the Holy Spirit, you can hear his words. He said, I'll make known my words unto you. The person that will not obey God and be filled with the Holy Spirit may not hear his words. Because I have called and you have refused, he called, but they didn't hear. They wouldn't hear. You have refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man hath regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel. And multitudes of Christians do this. They don't listen to their spirit man who hears from the Holy Spirit. They don't listen. And would have none of my reproof. He tried to warn them. He tried to warn them. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. Oh my goodness. I will mock when your fear cometh. what the rebellious can expect nothing better. God can't disobey his word. He doesn't promise the blessing to those that don't listen. Going down to verse 30 through 33. They would none of my counsel. They did not listen. They despised all of my reproof. They did not listen. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Now, this is what the unsaved brother did. He ate of the fruit. He reaped what he sowed. And be filled with their own devices. Yes, he was full of devices. We're trained by our parents to save ourselves in so many ingenious ways, but only God can actually do it. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay him, and the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell securely. Got that? Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell securely, and shall be quiet without fear of evil. Oh my. Proverbs 4. I'll read 4 through 6. And he taught me, and he said unto me, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she will preserve thee. Love her, and she will keep thee. Go on down to verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. So there's promised long life if we will listen to him, and a short life if we don't. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in paths of uprightness. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and if thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. In other words, listen, listen. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Down in verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Hearken unto the Lord, and find life and health. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Life comes out of your heart. It comes out of the things that are sown there. It comes out of the things that you treasure there, right? Which should be the Word of God. Psalm 1, 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. If a person doesn't know God, doesn't matter if they're a Christian or not, if they don't know God, don't listen to them. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Seek out wise people, and you will be wise. Walk with them. Lift up wisdom and truth, and you will be wise. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Wherefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment. Now it doesn't matter what judgment it is. The unbelieving man found judgment. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Their way, the natural way, will bring one to perishing. Deuteronomy 4 and 1. And now, O Israel, hearken unto the statutes and unto the ordinances which I teach you to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, giveth you. Go down to verse 10. The day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Assemble me the people, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. All right. Nehemiah 9:29. And testifiest against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto my commandments, but sinned against thine ordinances, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. And of course, they were destroyed. Isaiah 55 and 3. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And here's one I'm just going to be able to give you brief high points in these, because it's several pages long, Deuteronomy 28. But I'm going to read 1 through 6. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments. Sometimes it's a still, small voice. Sometimes he's not screaming, right? But he still expects you to obey. You know in your conscience what the Bible says. If you willfully disobey, you're going to be judged. Hebrews 10:26 says so. So observe to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. If you hearken, all these blessings will overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. What is the fruit of thy body? Your children, right? And the fruit of thy ground, yeah. And the fruit of thy beasts, and the increase of thy cattle, and the young of the flock. Blessed shall be thy basket, thy kneading trough. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. God promises blessings if you hearken to his voice. And of course, that goes on and on and on, and it tells you what kind of blessings you can have. But Deuteronomy 28:15 through 21 says this. Again, this is just a brief excerpt from a longer chapter there that you should go and read. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. If you don't listen to the voice of God, however it comes, you're going to be under the curse. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy kneading trough. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, which is, of course, including your children, and the fruit of thy ground, and the increase of thy cattle, and the young of thy flock. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will send upon thee cursing, discomfiture, and rebuke in all that thou puttest thy hand unto do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the evil of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee. Yes, many will die in the coming pestilence. Until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest in to possess. So, and again, this is just a brief excerpt that kind of covered a broad area, so I shared that. But there's much there. You say, David, you talk about salvation by works. No, I'm not. Because if you walk by faith in God and you are humble to him, he will work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you repent when you hear the word, there is no promise except repent and obey, right? And if you will repent when you read his word, then you will be able to do this through faith in God, who gives you power, who works in you to will and to work for your good pleasure, for his good pleasure, excuse me. Leviticus 26, 3 through 7. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land, like the evil beast that rules this land, right? But they're passing away, praise God. Neither shall the sword go through your land. The sword is going to go through this land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Now go down to verse 14, and I'm going to read through 18. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall reject my statutes, and if your soul abhor mine ordinances, so that you will not do all my commandments, and but break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will appoint terror over you, even consumption and fever, that shall consume the eyes and make the soul to pine away. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be smitten before your enemies. And they that hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth. And if you will not yet for these things hearken, or listen, unto me, then I will chastise you seven times more for your sins. Trying to turn the person, trying to turn, constantly trying to turn the person. Now, we know that in the New Testament there is a stipulation about ignorance of the word. How if we hearken unto his word that we know, and we walk in the light that we have, God will give us a blessing and a covering. But we already know what's right in most cases. Our conscience tells us. And we're held accountable to our conscience, as Romans chapter 2 says. We're held accountable to our conscience. Of course, our conscience has to be educated about right and wrong through the Word of God. And that helps too. But it doesn't matter. If you think something's wrong, you shouldn't do it, right? Until God corrects and gives your conscience understanding, you must obey it. Okay, so we know that we live under a dispensation of grace through faith. But we only have that when we repent of the things of willful disobedience. If we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. And you're an adversary if you're disobeying God willfully. You are an adversary. You're polluting his body. So I would say, repent. And when you study the Word of God, humble your heart to the Word of God. Ask God to give you a heart of humility towards his Word. Ask him to grant you grace to be an overcomer. Listen for the Spirit of God. He wants you to get used to listening for the Spirit of God. And listen to the different ways that God tells you he speaks in the Scriptures. All right. Well, God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us today, and hope this has been a blessing to you. And we'll do this again sometime. God bless you and keep you in the name of Jesus. And by the way, Brother Michael's going to come and share a word with you, so listen carefully. And Father, we ask you to bless Michael with an anointing of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen.